All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to help us out, you need to subscribe, whether it's on iTunes or anywhere that you might like to listen to your favorite podcasts. If you subscribe, that helps us out and lets us know that you are there and listening. Also, we'll keep you up to speed on everything we got coming up in the distant and near future.
Peace.
In late 2017, three men joined together in a pact to see what they could collectively do to advance civilization, further the cause of world peace, and elevate mankind. These three men were internationally renowned musician and Linkin Park multi-instrumentalist Dave Phoenix Ferrell, multiple PGA Tour champion and world-class golfer Brendan Steele, and Mark. They named themselves the Members. Those who they chose to sit with and ponder the mysteries of the universe, they named the Guests. What you're about to listen to is one of those historic conversations. Welcome to the Member Guest Podcast. Welcome to Member Guest.
All right, we're coming to you live.
Not live.
Live.
Liar. Liar.
Live. Tell the truth, Dave.
Oh, man, we're way too loud already.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark.
We're coming to you live from, by live, I mean via podcast. Coming to you live via podcast, a.k.a. podcast live, a.k.a. we're live here in the moment, but you're not listening live. It's like when I watch TV all the time with my kids. I've recorded a soccer game or something, and it always says live on the TV. And after years and years and years of this, it's a great question. They'll still ask me, Dad, is this game live? And I'll be like, no. I'll be like, why does it say live there?
It was recorded live.
Right.
In the moment.
In that sense, it is a live thing. Well,
we are alive doing this.
We're live.
We're sitting here doing it at once.
I, as everybody knows, am Dave, a.k.a. Lord Phoenix Ferrell of the New Order? No. I am Lord Phoenix Ferrell of the Noble Order. Or the Jedi Order. Or just Lord Phoenix Ferrell of the Order. Any order. I also have with me Mark Fiore di Bovino, the cowflower himself. He wants to be the bullflower, but Fiore di Bovino means cowflower. I insist on that. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Dave?
And Brendan, man of steel, the Steel Panther, the Pittsburgh's pride of Steel Town, the Steeler, I'm running out.
50 Shades of Steel.
50 Shades of Steel.
Of course.
The guy's name from the book is Steel, right?
The girl's name. But the girl's name is Anastasia Steel, which is...
Not Anastasia.
That's the only difference. One S.
What a difference an S makes.
Yeah. That can only happen to my wife. It's like she has the weirdest stuff go on. Your name ends up being a character in a book, and then it ends up being...
Your whole name.
That book.
Yeah.
And then that book ends up being like the best-selling book of all time or something. I think it passed the Bible or something. You know, it's like some sort of crazy stat on it. Anyway.
I could talk a lot about 50 Shades of Grey. My number one gripe with it, this is a great forum to get this out. It's not. That might be the worst written thing of all time. Okay, I'm just going to throw that out there. When Lindsay was reading parts of it at one point, and I'm like, oh, I got to check this out. It's such a big deal. We had been on vacation. You see it all around the pool. And I just felt like, and maybe this came from our guest today, who I won't give up his name, even though you already know it. But our conversations about any type of literature or whatever and how you actually, at a certain point, need to really build a scene or a picture of what's going on. Try not to repeat your words, you know, as you describe something. I'm reading that book and it was like, he went outside. The day was amazing. He went to his car and in the garage in his car was an amazing Porsche. Everything about it was amazing. And I'm like, dude, come on. This isn't the book that sells more than the Bible.
Okay. Certainly shouldn't be.
I digress. Enough about that. Let's get on to today's guest. makes
let's
sense.
Let's literally get on to today's guest. Just hop right on board.
Jumping ahead, you are the first guest member on Member Guest.
Woo!
Whoa, right? Come on.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, there's a lot of innuendo there. But starting with his highest accolade, today's guest is the first ever to join the podcast as a member. He's coming back to us as a guest member. We haven't quite figured out the nomenclature for that yet. He's a singer, a rapper, a songwriter. He's a multi-instrumentalist for Linkin Park. He's been described before as a creative juggernaut. Has that stuck?
You were the one that said that?
That's my language, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anybody... I had trouble even remembering that happened.
It's going to stick now.
Okay, now it's been said twice, so... It's probably the top of my Wikipedia page at this moment. No.
I think I did edit your Wikipedia page.
Thank you. Oh, we're going to come back to that. Don't you worry.
More importantly, he's a great friend, dad, and a great human. Not my dad, but a great dad.
Human. Thank you for clarifying that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Kenji Shinoda.
Thank you.
Dave, okay, I actually wrote something down just for you. Actually, I can't take full credit because Mark was the one who suggested this because you went so crazy with the accolades and the description at the top end of the last Member Guest podcast. I felt like we spent 10 minutes like talking about like what just small, like weird, dumb stuff that I'd done. So you guys got to help me out with this because here's what I came up with on Dave. Because if I Google Dave, I don't actually get a lot of information, which is weird because I know that Dave's a good dude, and he's a bassist in not only Linkin Park, but Tasty Snacks. He's a golf aficionado and player. Mm-hmm. He is a surfer, philanthropist, fission and nutrition expert.
Fission?
Fitness, rather.
Oh, fitness. Fishing.
Fishing expert. Fitness and nutrition expert.
I was thinking nuclear fission.
Yeah. 90s hip-hop connoisseur.
True.
Dog whisperer.
Yes.
Yep. Chicken fox.
That should be more...
Chicken farmer.
That's true.
People don't know
that's
that.
That's more yeah. Lindsay. But.
That's kind of you too, buddy. And we'll get back to let's end on this one for the moment. Accomplished chef and barbecue master, award winning, I might add, and Wikipedia hacker.
Early Wikipedia. There's a good 10 years where I didn't have a Wikipedia page. And I think it was because I sabotaged it myself.
I know it was because you sabotaged it. Not I think.
So it was a good probably 13, 14 years ago. Wikipedia was probably at that point brand new, almost in like their beta stage or whatever. I'm looking at my entry in Dave Plays Bass, blah, 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 running down through the list of just regular normal stuff. At that point, there was an edit button for just anybody to edit it.
And he's like, what does this do?
So I was like, huh, that could potentially be kind of awesome. I think I started just listing off some imaginary awards that I had won. And one was like a grill master competition. I had like awarded myself first place in that. And go figure, I liked creating fake titles for myself even way back then. So I bestowed upon myself some kind of like grill master of the universe accolade, and it's buried in between all this real information. Didn't think anything of it until maybe a month, 2 months later, we're doing radio interviews, and it might have been me and Mike. You know, hey, you're listening to Live 106.2, and we're here with Mike and Phoenix from Linkin Park. Phoenix, tell us about your recent Grill Master competition you've won.
I know we both looked at each other like, no way this is happening.
I was so caught off guard because I didn't know if I should be running with it first and foremost, like, or just like, oh man, I kind of almost feel like guilty. Should I admit that I did that? But the funnier part about it for me in retrospect, in talking with you, Mike, about that was I was like, oh shit, these guys research, all they're doing is going to Wikipedia. And right. P.S., I or anyone else, any of the other 7 billion people in the world could put anything up there that they want.
Right.
Since then, I think Wikipedia is a little stricter on who they allow write their articles. Yeah.
Dave is best known for being a shithead.
Dave.
Sorry, Dave. That was me.
Yeah.
And by the way, it was like kind of like, why does Wikipedia have their shit together enough to like protect against this thing that I could just change? Like, Mike could go on and literally give himself a Nobel Prize, like whatever you want to do. And so he said this in an interview. And the next thing we knew, Wikipedia deleted his page.
It was like,
he didn't have.
You go to Linkin Park, and then there's a hyperlink where you can press on any of the six guys except for me. Like, mine's not lit up. Like, my page, and that was like that for like 10 years.
He didn't exist.
I didn't have like a Wikipedia.
He was banned. He was removed. That reminds me of Genius. Like, so Genius is a website where you do lyrics, right? And they annotate the lyrics. And you can be a verified genius, which I am.
Of course.
Which doesn't mean that you're actually a genius. It just means that you're an artist who wrote lyrics. So, you know, I'm a verified genius. Like, Lil Pump is a verified genius. Bieber is a verified genius. Like, I don't think we have a lot of, like, actual genius. We're none of us are actually geniuses.
You're a verified evil genius.
This is generally what happens. You put out a song. Like, I put out this song, Running From My Shadow. I was basically like, I'm going to get around to like adding some annotations to my lyric site, my Genius page on this song, but I'm sure you guys will beat me to it. In my head, what I was like alluding to is the fact that all these fans, before I even get a chance to like tell them what the song is about, they're already going on there telling everybody what the song is about. I have to come in and be like, yeah, no. That's not what the song is about. And then the community has to like upvote my thing to like get it ahead of the fan that got there first. They're like, this song is about Volkswagen Beetles and pots and pans. And I'm like, close, but no, it's not correct.
It's the information age. But right. With that, there's like the disinformation age.
Disinformation.
And that reminded me of what I was even going to say with the start of Wikipedia. Mm. Also back then, with me coming back to the band, with me having a nickname of Phoenix, at that point early on, there it being tough for journalists to get accurate information. So a lot of them would be like referencing other articles that were written.
Because this was 100 years ago.
Yeah, as their sole research. We'd pull up in our horse and buggy. Yeah, we'd get exactly. Out. Like they'd pull out their feather quill pen and pen. But at that point, everybody could get like the Phoenix thing, but they would keep messing up my first name. So it would be Darren or it would be Dan.
And Rob, for some reason, was always Rob Bourbon. Do you remember that?
When he wasn't Brad.
Yeah, Rob was Brad and Brad was Rob. And you were Darren.
That still happens to this day. But at a certain point, I just started going with it, where even when they got my first name right, they're like, all right, we're here with Dave, you know, Phoenix Farrell and Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park. I'd be like, no, it's Darren. Or like, always correct it to something else.
You're the worst. You and Joe, I feel like always like you wanted to screw up the information. Like the information isn't there. So whatever you start with is really the thing that starts the foundation. And you guys did a great job of making sure that foundation was shaky.
I was just a week ago talking to somebody and I couldn't believe that it was still happening 15 years later, where people would get Brad and Rob just confused for who was who. I have heard it a million times where somebody comes up to Rob and says, hey, Brad, oh, man, I just love what you've done. I'm like, you're the hugest fan. I was talking to somebody just this past weekend, and they graduated from UCLA the year that Brad did the, what's it called? Commencement address or commencement speech. So Brad does this 20-minute address. He had filled in for, gosh, what's his name?
Conan O'Brien.
No, Conan was who they tried to get, but couldn't get him. But the original
James Franco.
James Franco. The original guy was James Franco, and the students revolted because apparently at that point he had only gone to UCLA for maybe a year and hadn't graduated and whatever. Fast forward, Conan can't do it. It's like 2 weeks out. They come to Brad. Brad's like, "All right, I'll do it. I'm in." He goes up and he kills it. 15 years later, I'm with somebody this past weekend who was in that graduating class, and the guy was like, "Yeah, Rob from your band, right? He gave that address. He was amazing." I'm like, what?
No way.
How do you get to Brad giving the commencement speech and it's your drummer Rob at your own commencement address?
I don't know what it is about those guys that they get confused for one another, but it's always happened and I hope that it always will.
It's one of my favorite.
By the way, for anybody listening, if you do want a good listen or a good watch when this podcast is over, head over to YouTube and look up Brad Delson UCLA commencement speech. And I'll give you a teaser that will get you there. Brad does an acoustic guitar and vocal cover of a Britney Spears song in his commencement speech. I know that's giving away a little too much, probably.
It's too good.
But it's worth watching. Like, he he killed. It was so funny.
Well, Mike, welcome back.
I'm filling a very important role today. This
Can
is not just
book you for the rest of season two.
I'm not just a guest. I feel like I'm right at this point. I'm
you
kind
are
of,
a member.
Well, okay,
you're
but
our biggest member.
Thank you. I've been told. No, I feel like it's, you know, you sometimes people hire like an advisor or strategist to come in and like help, you know,
right,
you know, curate the direction of a organization, and maybe that's what we're that's why I'm meant to be here.
The first time you were here, I think we looked back and counted two times that I did it, where I shut down both Mark and Brendan from asking questions about the theme song. Oh. Member guest.
Oh.
Always intending to get to it, and then true to form, I never got to it. So it's always like, in the very beginning, if you go back and listen to the intro, I'm like, whoa, we'll get to that, Brendan. Hold your horses, because he's starting to be like, oh, that's some great music, or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just so excited about how the episode started there. The music just gets me hyped, and Dave's like, no, come on.
Slow down.
We'll get there, okay? And we never got there. But we're getting there now.
Well, yeah. What is it about the music, Brendan, that you find so compelling?
You know how music just sometimes it speaks to you, it gets into your soul. That music just really gets in there deep into my psyche and makes me feel things that I've never felt before.
I feel the same.
Talk to Mark and Brendan from your side of how that went down.
The member guest podcast theme music?
Yeah.
Dave texted me, say, hey, we're doing a podcast.
Hey, that's on Dave Texas.
Hi. I like that you guys had like a real vision for like what this like intro needed to be. That was like exciting to me. It's like, oh, okay. It's way easier to like make something when I hear this is what we want the dialogue to be, and it's going to be like a very like serious, epic kind of thing.
Cinematic.
Yeah. So I basically just ripped off all my favorite like super cool, epic 80s movie scores and, threw those in the blender and came out with this thing.
And 40 minutes later, you
I mean,
a masterpiece.
I was the hardest part was you know booking out the time with the London
orchestra.
Yeah, Symphony. The Philharmonic. It was just, I mean, they're just so busy, you know. And then you spent the money, you know, it was like a you know an 8-figure check, so you might as well get the music that pays for.
Yeah, big budget.
Yeah.
I feel like the theme song is a little short, though, because there was all this room at the beginning of the song for these awards and accolades for these two guys.
Mm.
And then by the time it got to
all
like my
yours.
Verse,
oh yeah,
it was like, then we had to jump straight to the
yeah,
end. And
yeah.
So
you
maybe
know,
we could extend that about...
Super awkward. Wow. It's really weird that we ran out of time.
Didn't you actually have to shorten it? Didn't we tell you that's a little long? Just cut that down a little bit.
Well, I mean, the director's cut of the opening theme was 45 minutes long. So, you know, I mean, let's play that real quick. Just, do you mind? We'll just,
just jump in. Let's please not do that.
We always said version 2.0 would have all of Mark's accolades on there.
That'll be the other 44 minutes of...
Not season two, just version two.
Version 2.0.
Version 2.0.
That leaves us a lot of room for versions 1.2, 1.3. Yeah.
And leaves a lot of time for Mark to get some accolades.
1.4.
We could have thrown all the tasty snack stuff in there for him.
Let me ask about that real quick, because this is funny. I've never asked you about how did Tasty Snacks start. Tasty Snacks, for people listening, was Dave and Mark's band that started before Linkin Park. You guys were a band before we were a band. Were you in band at school? Were you playing outside of, like, just over at somebody's house?
The way it started was literally four friends. One of us had a guitar. Like the cheapest guitar you could get at Guitar Center with probably no amp at the time. Our drummer banged pots and pans. He'd never played drums. He'd never played drums ever once. Our first band practice was with pots and pans and like wooden sticks. Then we bought an entire drum set for $50.
Whoa.
Including hardware.
Wow.
I don't think
that was phase two.
Why did if somebody's going to sell a drum kit for $50, why do they even sell it?
It was barely a drum set.
Why don't they just give it? It's $50. Like, that's the point at which it's like, I was going to charge somebody like a couple $100 for this, but like, I'm just going to give it to you, kid.
Some context for the non-drummers out there. Like a good kick pedal, I'm not saying the best, but just the thing that you hit your kick drum with, that's going to run you $300. That's not even like a pro one. That's just like a, you know, it's a decent one. It's going to work for a while. It's good. $300.
$50. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. $50 is like, just give the kid. If I was like, if it was my brother or like my friend who was like, yeah, I sold this kid my, I got rid of my drums finally. I've been trying to get those things out of the house. I sold this kid for $50. I'd be like, dude, you're an asshole. Like, well, you should have just, why charge him anything at that point? Just give the drums to the kid.
So we were like 16. The kid who was selling it to us was about 14. That gives you some context.
Trade it for a video game or something, or like borrow something. That's so stupid. Trade it for something meaningful, not $50. That's fucking terrible.
So you don't
Do you have to bleep fucking?
No.
Oh, okay.
We could though.
Yeah, you should.
Turn it into something like
Can you reverse it?
Yeah,
reverse.
Just from now on, just say that. Turn it in. Don't sell it $50. It's fucking terrible.
How's the Zesty Mounds, by the way, guys? Enjoying it?
It's amazing. Wait, that's the one we were having?
I believe so.
It has a coconut finish.
It's very, it's kind of, it's very rich and chocolatey. Cocoa. What was it?
Cacao.
That's cacao.
Cacao.
I have to bleep cacao.
What did you call me?
Cacao.
Before we get far away from the reversing the curse words thing, there's a song on there called Hold It Together, but the real words in the song are Hold My Shit Together. I, of course, have to do a clean version of the album, and I kept going back and forth with like, what am I going to do with shit on that song? Like, I can't hold my together. I can't fill it in with like a dumb word or whatever. And I don't want to bleep it. I was going in the mix and like putting different sounds over top of that word just to kind of maintain like some of the integrity of the line. I ended up just going back to like late 90s, early 2000s curse word bleeping where they just reversed it. And I did ish. And I actually had to like record it with my phone. I did it, recorded it with my phone, sent it to management and said, send that to the label and ask him if it's going to be okay to just straight up do ish. It sounds so dumb. But I'm just, like for 5 minutes, I'm sitting there just looking at my phone going, please say yes, please say yes, please say yes. And they came back, yes. And I was like, Anna, like yelling to my wife, Anna, they said yes, I can use ish on the song. It's amazing. I'm so excited. Like, I lose sleep over crap like this. Like, I just, it's the dumbest thing. But there's, to me, like, the song loses a lot if it, if you don't have that phrase. And it's like, it's artistic integrity mashing up with, like, stupid lowbrow, the lowest of lowbrow humor.
Did you try Hold My Poop Together?
Like, there's no word that rhymes. There's no, that. Yeah. I, at one point, was going to put, like, just, as a in rebellion, I was going to put animal sounds, pigs and cows and chickens and whatever. And I thought that was, that'd be great for me, but
can you send us a version of that?
Yeah, that was a big fuck you to the industry. That's what that was. It never, never had to happen.
What was that Kanye song Gold Digger? The bleeped version was almost better than.
Was it?
I thought so.
Yeah, they just repeated the line
joke,
before it.
Joke or something like that.
Yeah, they repeated the line.
Broke. It had a little more like mystery and swag to it.
I don't know if it was mystery to me. I kind of already knew what he was saying.
And it also it also didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right.
The edited version.
Well, I mean, unless you're...
She ain't messing with no broke, broke.
If you're messing with a broke, broke. I mean, that's a thing, you know? Yeah. Man, don't talk to that guy. He's a broke, broke.
He's a broke, broke.
I kind of like that.
He's really broke.
He's a broke, broke.
That's sniff, sniff, sniff is sniff, get broke. I mean, Mark gave you his start of the Tasty Snacks, but the reality of it is it's kind of like talking about the start of the universe. There's theories, and you know, like, where the Tasty Snacks is now and what it became, but the beginnings are kind of fundamentally shrouded in some of, like, the mysteries of the universe. Like, I don't know if it even is really understandable.
I don't know if it even really happened.
Right. Or did the Tasty Snacks always exist? And then at that point, it just becomes like discoverable? Or is it always coming into existence, then out of existence?
I mean, yeah, because who doesn't love the Tasty Snacks? I mean, everybody knows what happened and the impact they had on not only music, but society as in general.
There's never going to be another band like the Tasty Snacks. I mean,
I don't know if there ever even was one like them.
There may not have been.
It's hard to believe that any band could have existed that was like the Tasty Snacks.
Mike,
Yes, sir.
If we do a snacks reunion show, would you open up for us?
Yes. And can I play on one song?
Sure.
You can play on all of them.
In fact, it's encouraged.
Member guest presents.
Speaking of your new music, I hear there's also a new video that is directed by the Cowflower himself.
The Cowflower. Cowflower Productions.
Dude, how are you not?
I was at
director Cowflower.
At one point, I did some projects where at the end there was like a little cow that came up and it said film Steve Bovino.
And eating, yeah. Was he eating something?
He was munching on a flower. It's a cow munching on a flower.
Was it animated or did I do that in my head?
Yeah, Di Bovino. We did Promises I Can't Keep.
Right.
When I first reached out to you, I told you, I was like, I just want you to be involved somehow. I know there's a lot of Linkin Park fans that know Mark directed all the like LPTV episodes forever, directed Talking to Myself, right? And
Giving Up.
Mm-hmm. And this is a really, it's a cool video. It's like, kind of the vibe was, how would you describe the vibe? Like, what's your take on the concept?
Well, from the beginning, Mike's attitude was like, I want this to be fun and I want it to be easy.
Right.
For me, that just like short-circuited me because it's nothing. Never fun or easy.
Usually the direction that like, comes to you from us is like, I kind of want this to suck and be hard.
Yeah, it's basically, that's the subtext. The communication is, look, we need this to be black and cold. And also white and hot. And you need to do those things or else this is a non-starter.
And we need it yesterday.
And we need it yesterday and there's no money.
Go.
Okay, thanks. That sounds like fun. We had multiple conversations where I said, don't think of this like a Linkin Park video. Don't think about this like the way that we've done things in the past. This is totally different. It's going to be fun. It's like, he's like, but what's the concept and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I don't care if there's a concept. Let's just go out and shoot. And he's like, what?
So we basically agreed on, let's just go hang out and film stuff.
Yes.
And once I was kind of on board with that, I got really excited, but I wanted to be able to deliver it in a different way. Because I feel like right now, a lot of the videos that we experience, they're starting to kind of all feel a little bit the same. Mm-hmm. So I wanted the experience for the viewer to be different. And so I started thinking about how we experience like Instagram stories and Snapchat. And I started working on these different tests with just some video stuff that I'd shot on my iPhone, where the video was actually scrolling as if it was on a timeline, moving from left to right and right mm-hmm. to left. And I sent it to Mike and he's like, that's awesome. I even love that look. I like the iPhone look, whatever. So we literally just filmed everything in about 2.5 hours.
Was it that short?
We hung out. We were together for 3.5 hours. We did an hour long dinner, which was awesome at the Albright plug. But we probably recorded everything in 2.5 hours. And I filmed probably 90% of it on my iPhone.
Yeah. I know that you shot some other stuff like on the days before and after too, but I'm excited for people to see it. I'm doing videos for every song. To be able to do that, for me, I needed things to be a little more easygoing and like for me to want to do videos. Because if I look at a video and go, oh, like, that's going to be hard or that's going to be expensive. Like if I have negative feelings associated with it, then I won't want to do mm-hmm. that many videos. The album in general, I started it 11 months ago now, I guess. And the earliest stuff I wrote was pretty intuitive. It was like reflecting on what was going on in the moment and how that affected the past. So like the beginning of it, a lot of it's kind of looking at, you know, in a sense, like looking at backwards and what was happening in the moment. As the album went on, there was more focus on the moment and forward in a sense, mm-hmm. which isn't that really what, I mean, you know, Dave, you and I have talked about this a bit. But isn't that what you want? Like what you want to feel is like, oh, I feel like things are progressing. I feel like I'm pretty good. Like I've been through a time that was difficult and now I want to have more good days than bad days.
Right.
Hopefully you hear that as the album goes on. Like it starts in a dark place, but it doesn't stay there and crossing a line. And intentionally that I put that right in the middle, like a turning point on the record. So yeah. So by the end of it, you know, you've even got some like kind of aggressive rapping and positive songs and stuff like that.
Now that you've had a little bit of space from the songs, and by space, I just mean that you've known what the album is and it's been done. Do you look at it like a, is it like one big flowing
like concept,
concept or arch? Or?
Yeah, no, I think it does what I wanted it to do. Like I've done a lot of interviews lately. It's been crazy. It's a bummer because you're not there to do half the interview for me, Dave. That's a real, that's so,
it's totally a bummer for me too.
Dude, I feel like having to do, like usually when you've got other people to share interviews with, it's just like, oh God, I can't answer this question again. Ugh. And then it's, you can just look to the other person and be like, I got you, dude.
Or at the very least, you can look to them to be like, entertain me a little bit right now, please.
At least we're both suffering through answering the same question 100 times. You know this, like when we finish an album, a lot of times it's, hey, we made this cool thing. It's done. And everything from here out, like we know what that looks like. We did our record. Now we're going to go on tour. We're going to tour for 12 to 18 months. It's going to be these places. It's going to be this many shows a week. We're going to basically build this into the set that we've already got. And it's like you get creative with it. Like you have fun with it a variety of ways. But there's a lot of common structure underneath it. So this is not that. Like what's so interesting to me is like has been that I've as I'm like living it is that I made the thing and the thing is basically the first step on like a journey. And I don't know what a lot of that journey is going to look like. Like I don't know at this point even what it really looks like on stage. It's a lot of trial and error and like also like putting something in front of the fans and reading their reaction. And if they go, yes, we love that, like more of that, then I do more of that. If they go, this sucked, please don't do that anymore, then I did react. And they know that. It's like so easy because it's like almost like the level, the pressure is lower because they're not like, well, that sucked. We're not going to like Mike anymore. They know that the deal is like this is all experimental. Although I've finished this body of work, like it's the start of whatever the next step is, and the step after that, I have no idea.
Those shows went really well, though. I thought,
oh, the LA shows, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was able to watch the Weenie Roast set, and I talked to Dave a little bit about it afterwards, and I was like, I thought Mike killed it. And
thanks,
I thought,
man.
On top of that, I thought that it takes so much balls to get up there by yourself.
It was scary.
Right? And I was watching it, and I was just like, I told Dave, I was like, major cojones just to get up there and do it,
dude. The end of the K-Rock one, the end of the Weenie Roast one, I got into that song. I was doing Remember the Name is the last song, and on the last Linkin Park tour I had done a double chorus in the middle of the song, like between verse one and two I'd done a double chorus every time. And on this set I did a single, and so I went into the double chorus and the music changed. I'm like, oh fuck. And then I looked around the crowd and I was like, you know what? I'd already thought like I was going to get down in the crowd for this part. And now I've messed up the chorus. And I told the crowd, I said it on the mic. I'm like, I'm not going out like that. I got back up on stage. I like stopped the music because it's like I've basically created this like little production studio on stage. It's keyboards and guitar and my laptop. But this version is like pretty simple. There's like playback stuff and stuff I can playback, meaning it's coming out of the computer. So I went over the computer, I stopped the song. And so I started it over. I did it right that time. I jumped straight into the crowd and I finished the set the way I wanted to finish the set. My default position at that moment in time, getting off stage, having ended the set that way, my brain was telling me, you idiot, like you screwed it up. It was going fine and you fucked up the last 5 minutes. Like what an idiot. And then I had to like, you know, look at myself and be like, okay, this was your first show. It was totally different than what you usually do. And the pressure was kind of high. I had like talked myself down off the ledge on that one. And it was like, you know, then I went to City Hall and I played a second show. That one was an hour long in the dark, which is great. Got the lights going and it felt good. It felt really nice. The fans were incredible. It couldn't have been, I felt like that second show was really the best way to kick off doing shows because it was a Pan-Asian event in LA. I was the first one to make a song, like a contemporary song about Japanese internment. And they're like, oh, that's me. That's my family. You know? So there's a second layer of like connection there, which was really nice. And of course I played that song Kenji at the show.
I love that song.
Thank you. I'm going to continue to play it. I'm going to play it at all my shows. We'll
that's
see.
That's great.
One of the other things I think is cool about it, that you give the fans an opportunity to vote on one of the songs, right? So I voted.
What did you, wait, what were my choices? Was When They Come For Me, Sorry For Now.
I'm Too Sexy.
Petrified. And
Petrified. And
and the Charlie Brown theme song from the Christmas special.
And The Devil Goes Down to Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. I personally voted for the Vince Guaraldi Trio Charlie Brown song.
I vote for I'm Too Sexy every time.
I know, I know. So it's like you might as well throw our votes away because right. they're so predictable.
Cross cancel.
Yeah.
What did you vote for?
Roads Untraveled.
It was in there.
Did you play it?
I did.
I think it won. It won because of me.
Brendan voted 56,000 times. Yeah.
Did we talk about the fact that that happened? In my We Demand campaign for the show.
We talked about it on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. We haven't rectified that. I feel like the Australians, they cheated. I was like doing this poll for like, you know, where should I go play? And the Australians cheated like right off the bat. Like, how is that the first impression? It's like, oh, we're just going to kick it off by cheating on a poll for where Mike should go tour.
It's not cheating if you don't get caught, or it's not officially against the rules.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah, to be
they were just clear, competing smarter.
I didn't say bots are not allowed.
Bots are bad.
Bots are not allowed unless they're buying tickets and showing up in person.
Concert bots.
Then those bots, they're allowed. But if they're not actually showing up, we're gonna have a lot of empty space at the venue.
For sure,
that's always a bummer.
For sure. We talked about it a little bit earlier before we started the recording, but I went to Bottle Rock. I was realizing that with where we're at right now in music, I'm actually going to shows in almost in a different mode. Mm. Like I think I'm less almost like callous or over it. I'm generally more excited to be there, which is probably good. I'm like enjoying music more than I have in the last 15 years. I'm more appreciative of like what's going on. And at the same time, I'm way more aware of the fact that you can like somebody's music or you can like somebody's art. But when you go to a live show, that's where you either become like a fan in that environment because you understand it more, or you're just kind of like, okay, now I know I'm not a fan. Doesn't mean I don't dislike their stuff or whatever else, but it's just, I get their vibe and that's not what I was going for, right? Perfect example of that is for me is Fantagram. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Mike.
I love Fantagram.
I know. I thought you were a huge fan that you've seen them play also. But knowing a lot of their music, and Lindsay is like their music for forever, and myself as well. And then you go and you see it, and I was like, they're awesome. Like, I get their vibe. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like on stage, it makes sense, and it's awesome.
I feel like you decide whether or not you believe them. Like, right, are they talented? Right. Do they put on a good show? And also the other part is it's more cultural.
I think too, in that environment, at least for me, you can understand where they're coming from better with what they're doing with their music. And then you can also see if that lines up with how their music is hitting you separately. You know, sometimes you'll have that experience where you like somebody, like their music, and you go see them and it's just like, whoa, this is a huge disconnect from where I'm experiencing this music from versus where this person's performing it from. There's definitely going to be experiences where you've got Linkin Park fans coming out that have either seen Linkin Park or not.
Mm.
But now they're getting to experience like in a more one-on-one or a more real environment, like Mike Shinoda, and then decide like,
oh, yeah,
am I
totally
a Mike Shinoda fan?
Totally.
Right?
I'm being judged. He's straight up judged.
So it wasn't ever supposed to be like, in my head, it wasn't ever supposed to be like, does that stress you out?
No. Dude, you know me. Like, Dave and I always think things through. If like I walk into an interview or onto a stage where I go, oh crap, I didn't think about that. That'd be like, that's the worst case scenario for me. Like, I don't really want to be. For example, one of the reasons why doing the videos with Mark and doing videos in general that are like, I don't have expectations. We're just going to go have fun. My expectation is to have fun. If I set that as the goal, then I can't be disappointed in terms of, will I walk in if it's not exactly what I thought that I'm, you know, disappointed. The only thing I thought that was going to happen is go out and have fun. If I'm going to get out on stage by myself, I've already accepted the idea that some people are not going to buy a ticket because there aren't enough people on stage. part of the purpose of the album in general was to capture all these moments that were happening that I felt were important. There are people who go through difficult or devastating scenarios and circumstances and find their path out of it, right? And come to realizations all the time. And that's, you know, all of us. And I wanted to make sure that when those things were happening to me, that I was capturing those in the lyrics and the music. And now that I'm playing them live, I want to make sure that I find a nice balance between telling those stories, but keeping the vibe upbeat enough in terms of a concert that you don't, I'm not sitting there moping. I don't want to make a depressing show. I want to make an inspiring show. I might want to make a fun show too.
Mike, have you continued writing even after with all this promo and stuff you've been doing with the record?
I've been writing a little bit, getting in the studio with a couple other people. I'm just kind of playing around. And when things come up that it's like, oh, a friend is like working on a song and, or they happen to be in town and they're not from LA, like I'll go stop by and see what happens. But it's very, you know, it's just loose. And we had talked many times about riding the wave. That's different from going with the flow. Going with the flow is being passive and just kind of going where things take you. And what I'm actually trying to actively do is pay attention to little opportunities that come up and not let them pass by. Then I'll make more of an effort to be a part of it or to contribute, even if that's like kind of going out of my way. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I've got other things to do, but like, let's change my schedule. Let's change my day a little bit to spend more time on this thing that otherwise would have just kind of gone by.
Purposeful or?
Yeah. Like it has to make sense, make more sense. And doing it with, as an individual, I feel like I have a clear idea of what I do and don't want to do. You know, everybody always asks about Linkin Park and future plans and everything. I always tell them, like, when we know, we'll know. Like, when we know and we have a plan, then we'll figure that out and we'll tell everybody.
I know from even doing this and the last time we did it, there's all the feedback on social media, whatever else. Like, I know people would be, like, interested in any kind of description of where you/we
so
individually, collectively, whatever are at.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious about how you would respond. I joked with Brad, actually. I told him, like, I'm saving you from having to answer this same question by the end of the year, probably 100 times, maybe 200 times.
Right.
What's next? You know, what's the band going to do? No person who's come into that interview asking that question doesn't know the answer to that question. They all know that the answer is we don't know, but they ask it anyway because they want an original answer.
You can't come into that interview without asking a version of that because
a responsibility.
You've
sure.
You've got to like,
sure. Yeah. And by the way, like,
maybe today's the day you figured it out. And then now and they've got the
big
that scoop.
The big, you know, I was just talking to Dave.
We're going to break it here.
We figured it out
first. Yeah. Yeah. Got to ask.
We're creating a new band. But I told them like, look, you know, a lot of them saw the Hollywood Bowl show. They know what it's like for us, in terms of like seeing us on stage, the way things were and what our personal expectations for what the kind of show we want to put on, like the quality of show and what our options might be, those questions haven't been answered. And I feel like being out in the world, you know, as opposed to like moping around my house and not talking to anybody, being out in the world and being on stage and being in the studio with people and talking to people, whether it's other artists or it's people in music industry or even fans, like just being in the mix helps me keep an open ear to all the possibilities of what that could be. I just want to be out there in the world so that if some good ideas come to me or some good suggestions happen, that I'm like available to receive them, you know? Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm just out there and I go, oh, this thing, you know, I played a bunch of shows on my own. This thing is great. This thing sucks. And now I know more and I can come home and say to you guys, like, this is what I'm thinking. I had a really nice conversation with Joe last week. I think he was a little down. We've all had that moment, like, sure, various times when we're just like, I just don't know what anybody's doing. I don't know what's happening. He just sent me an email and I responded, like, here's how I see it. Like, number one, I'm in the mix. Number two, you know, I love all the guys, period. And number three, the more that I'm out there talking to people and doing these things, like, it just keeps the momentum up. At the very least, I can answer some of the hard questions that fans have and journalists have that then Joe and Brad and Rob and you don't have to answer.
you know, and especially Joe, he was like, thank you. Like, I don't want to answer those questions. I don't want somebody to stick a camera in my face and ask me all this hard stuff. I had an interview just yesterday where this guy asked like depressing stuff for 20 minutes. It's not easy to be just bludgeoned with this depressing stuff. But it is, you know, in a sense, it's like, we'll get through this and we'll get through all this stuff. And then eventually there'll be, you know, other things on the horizon. Like, we're still here. Right?
Yeah, I think...
Dave. Dave, I've been meaning to ask you. So I'm sorry about the last year. What's next, though, for you and the boys? What do you think is happening next? Have you talked to them?
Am I answering the question for that guy? Or am I...
No, because that guy is actually like middle of the road. Like, that's a very manageable.
Yeah.
The one that was unmanageable was effectively like super loud, upbeat morning radio DJ, you know? Mm-hmm. And their vibe is like, hey, guys, like, what's up? Live with the days of Chicago. Hey, what are you doing? That was a traffic. And then blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we're here with Linkin Park. Like, let's talk about that. And I'm like, I was just like, whoa, is this really the tone that we're using right now to get into this line of questioning? Like, you are a monster. You're a maniac.
Granted, it was never in the same context that it would be in now, but it still was really, really funny for me, was when I would do radio shows and I'm calling in. Mm-hmm. And you're talking to the guy and you're like, okay, hey, Dave, thanks so much for joining us. This is going to be great. I'm going to talk, you know, let's just... We're going to chat about the new album, maybe a couple other things. Like, I heard you're into this and this. We can talk about that if you want. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Okay, cool.
Okay, I'm going to hit record.
All right, we're coming in 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Hey! Blah, blah. And you're like, whoa, what?
Who just took over?
What just happened right there? Then he'll always throw to me, and I'll still be like, as many times as it's happened to me, it'll still catch me off guard. And I'll be reeling a little bit and be like, whoa.
One time ever, I said... Why did you just do that with your voice?
And the guy was like, what are you talking about?
And I'm like, yeah, never mind. That's okay.
Or the other side of that moving forward is, you know, like, oh yeah, cool. Like, let's just talk about the new thing, blah, blah, blah. And then he does his shtick and then throws to you.
So we're Mike Shinoda. Like, what's going on?
You're just like, hey, everybody. Like, this is Mike Shinoda. I'm going to be coming to your town. You're like, whoa, it's traumatic. What is this guy doing?
Why is he talking like this?
No, I think, I mean, for me...
I felt like you kind of came into the show like that.
Smooth transition. Which, oh, today?
Today, yeah.
Yeah, I try to.
We're live! We're coming live to you via podcast from the Member Guest LA studio.
It's very dynamic.
Yes, it is. easy transition or easy segue.
Right.
Yeah, so for me, Linkin Park, I think right now I probably have more, I have like more appreciation for what we've been able to accomplish, I think, maybe than ever. I feel like I've got a little bit of like space and kind of a little bit of a ability to kind of look at the albums and everything else and kind of appreciate it maybe more than I ever have. And I also feel like there's a ton of goodwill out there just in general. There's so many people that I feel like are really rooting for us and rooting for the band, and just like there's like a warm-heartedness, for lack of a better way of describing it, which I really appreciate and have through this entire process and journey. And I mean, the honest answer from me that I would tell my family is that, you know, I don't know what we're doing. You know, that's obviously the one that everybody would be expecting. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like there's so many different aspects to going into what we're doing. And I think at this point, like, everybody's still kind of finding their footing in their own way, like you and myself included. I think that process will continue. At some point, I think we're going to, I would bet that we're going to do something together. It's too fun. Too fun.
Well,
not to.
It's and too fun. And the guys, like, all the guys, like, love each other.
Right.
And, you know, having done the tribute show in October, I got, like, a glimpse of, like, us with somebody else over the course of that three-plus hours. You had us mixed with all these other artists. And, you know, none of them are Chester. So there's that hurdle to get over. It's like, okay, well, like, I have to wrap my brain around the fact that, like, we weren't wrong that he was like such a force to be reckoned with.
Sure.
It's like, no, yeah. It's like, that was a theory before that he's like
incredible as a vocalist. And then you have other people actually singing his songs. Like, nope, it's proven. That's true that anybody else who sings one of his songs, it doesn't sound like the song as much anymore. And they're all, every single one of them was a superstar. And they're on their own, really, really great. Like, as a writer, from my end, like, when I started, when I would start a demo, I would oftentimes pretty much be designing it for him to win. Like, I'd be designing the song in a way where it was made for him to sing. So if you then take that same song and then give it to me or give it to you or give it to whoever, it's going to be, you know, it's not the same. So what happens then if you start to, you know, change the format of the song or you change change things about it so that it fits somebody else, you know, whether that's me or somebody else, so a person we bring in to sing songs, we play temporarily or permanently or whatever. I don't know. All those things are question marks. Obviously, it's just like, it's a wait and see. And yeah, we're here. We're around doing the thing. I mean, I talk to you. I don't know about those other guys. I talk to those boneheads.
I shoot them emails. Just kidding. They wouldn't reply on emails.
No, email's not the best way. You want to know the first thing about our guys? Email's not
the way.
Don't
email them.
No, don't email those guys.
That's like a 1 month lag. Emails actually travel slower than snail mails.
You know what? That's very, it's almost like more in touch. We joke about, actually, people don't know this, but we joke about them being out of touch, but, or at least I do. Maybe that's not nice. But I do it to their face, so that's fair. I joke with Brad in particular all the time about that, and it's like an exaggerated thing because he doesn't really have, he has social media, but he doesn't really have social media. So I just joke that he's like living in a cave somewhere and doesn't know what's going on in the world. But it is very modern of him to not respond to emails. Like, that's a very, I feel like he could be 14 years old and not responding to emails, and I'd be like, oh, of course he doesn't. He's 14 years old.
It's almost postmodern.
Yeah. It's like, no, you got to DM him on, you know, Instagram and Snapchat. Yeah.
He's on the next.
Yeah. Well, I actually only talk to him in when we're playing Fortnite or Roblox. So we just get in the chat together. And, yeah. I mean, you want to know where Brad is, you go on Roblox and turn on Meep City and he's there. That's what it is. You know Meep City.
I do.
Yeah. You know it too well.
I live there sometimes. All right, Mike.
Dude, we're going to end on a Meep City joke. That's legendary.
We're going to end on Meep City.
That's so bad. Shout out to our new sponsor.
If you want to hang out with Mike or me, you can find us at Meep City.
Find us Roblox. On the chat.
My nickname is Master Builder PX. Mike is...
I thought yours was Lord Phoenix. Lord of the... What was it?
That was already taken. Oh. I had to get Master Builder PX.
He sold that profile on Craigslist.
While we were sitting here.
God. That guy's got a chicken outfit.
That guy has a drum kit too.
He traded his chicken outfit for the drum set. Mike.
Dude.
Since you're here, make it worth your while if you want. Do you have any specific tour dates, upcoming events you want to plug? Anything?
Look, just go to MikeShinoda.com. I'm going to be in Asia in August. I'm doing a bunch of dates in Asia, including Bangkok and Hong Kong and a variety of others. I will be playing Reading and Leeds in later on. Basically, I'm hitting Asia and then I'm hitting Europe and moving on from there. Still dates to be announced. But I'm actually, one thing I'm looking forward to is the Love Loud Festival in July. Love Loud is in Salt Lake City, and you might be joining me for that, at least in, not on the stage, but in backstage, which doesn't help.
I'll be joining you in the backstage.
You'll be joining me. Wait, that sounds weird. You're going to be joining me on social media, probably.
It sounds weird, but accurate.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
If there's enough we demand from the bots, then I might be able to do some interpretive dancing on stage with you.
We demand Darren Phoenix Farrell come up here and dance.
Here
at the Love Loud Festival.
Before we here, you can edit this out too. I'm gonna just pull up my actual tour dates so we don't, if anybody's made it this far, they can actually listen through this shit and then okay.
This is what they've waited for.
Yeah,
this is
they actually like this part better.
Okay.
Just give me the dates.
Oh, thanks for asking, Dave. shows coming up. I've got the Love Loud Festival on July 28th,
which I'm very excited about. It's Imagine Dragons and Zedd.
And may and or may not have interpretive dancing.
May or may not. You may or may not be in doing interpretive dancing backstage. A bunch of dates in Asia, Hong Kong, Thailand, Japan, and then go to Europe in August. So, yeah, all the dates are on MikeShinoda.com.
You're pretty much
at Mike Shinoda. The only one I'm, the only place I'm not at Mike Shinoda is Instagram. I'm M_Shinoda. And that's a long story, but I'm M_Shinoda.
Official.
Yeah, I do have a little check mark, so you know.
And Mike, today you came as a member. Guest
that
member?
Sounds weird.
Member? You came. You're also leaving with as your, still
with,
a member?
With your member.
This has been a members only podcast. Yeah, this is a members podcast.
For all of our members and guests out there, you can follow us on Twitter at MemberGuest. You can follow us on Instagram at MemberGuestOfficial. You can always visit us at the website, member-guest.com. Any final thoughts?
Thank you, guys. And your podcast is amazing. That's my thought.
Would you like to say our members farewell? A customary farewell, I guess.
Send off.
Send off.
May your drives fly straight. May your guitars stay tuned. And may Mark learn how to drink a non-fruity beer forever.
Adios.
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 Oh, bad luck for the last.
Find something in there, Dave. Finish something. Yeah.